God, if you would pray for me and with me as we endeavor to share with you the Word of God. We'd like to turn to Revelation, the third chapter, and I want to start reading at the seventh verse. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Now I want us to take note here to who's talking here. He said, who he's talking to the church, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia. And he says, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and he shutteth, and no man openeth." This seems like some strength, doesn't it? All right, read. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." All right, that's good enough. What I want to talk to us about today is the Lord sets a door before us that is open. And we have access to the things of God. Whatever it is that we may need, whether it be spiritual needs, whether it be financial needs, whether it be emotional, whatever the needs may be, the Lord says, I have a door that is set before you, and I'm opening it, and no man can shut it. And I want us to take into consideration as you think about doors. How many doors did you open and close today? When you got ready for church, there was a closet door, no doubt. There was a restroom door, the door to the whatever bedroom. All these doors that we have that are open and closed at various times. And we take into consideration that the only way for us to gain access into this particular room or even into our car, whatever it may be, there is a door that must be open in order for us to get into that room or into that car or into this church building. And if it's on the exterior of something, the exterior of our home, exterior of the church building, the exterior of our car, there generally is a lock on that door, isn't it? And there has to be a certain key, and not every key will work that door. And not every key will open that door. It has to be the key that is appropriated for that particular door. In the same way, there are times that the Lord wants to open doors for His people. There are things that we feel like are shut up. We don't have access to certain things. And there are things that we desire, "Lord, I need some help here." Some of the folks in our Sunday school were talking about there was a financial need. And it seemed like no matter what we do, the door is closed. And we don't know how to open the door. We do everything that we possibly can to open the door, but it still doesn't open. Do you know the Lord has the key to the door? He has the ability to open the door, whatever it is that we're facing today, whatever the need may be that you and I have, God can open the door and give us access to His kingdom. I want to encourage us that way. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing that He cannot do. And I believe what the Lord wants you to understand here, as He said, this is the Holy One, the One that is true, the One that opens the door, and no man can shut it, no matter who He is. Do you know we have power with the Lord when we trust the Lord for the things that we desire Him to give us? And I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they were saying, just recently, and they were talking about maybe they need a little bit of money, right? And I don't know. I'm always in that kind of a place. But I've learned a long time ago, when it seems like everything that I've tried is closed and there is no way that I can get it, I've learned that there is a key to the door, and I can go there and it's the key of faith. That I can ask the Lord, "Lord, would you open this up for me?" And you know, nine times out of ten, because I don't know, the Lord doesn't always give us what we want when we want it. But I would have to say the Lord always has been faithful to me. It's not a 9 times out of 10 of His faithfulness. It's a 10 times out of 10 that the Lord has been faithful to me. Or the Lord has given me an understanding, that door I have closed, and I don't even want you to work on the handle.
I don't even want you to touch. I don't want you to knock on it. Not on this door. The Lord has told me that because there have been times that I've knocked and it seems like the Lord isn't answering. And I've heard people say that, you know, I've prayed and it seems like God isn't hearing my prayer. And I want you to know and understand that there are some things that you cannot do unless you use the right kind of key. I want to go a little further here. I want us to go to Matthew the 16 in connection with this. Matthew 16 and verse 19. Read it for us if you have it. Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
And
whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth
shall be bound in heaven.
Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So what this is how many people have keys to your house? I am certain that there is a limited number of people in this audience, in your circle of friends and acquaintances. Now, I believe you would trust me, but I don't have a key to your house. I don't need a key to your house. So what does it say? In essence, we only give keys to people that we trust or people that need access into our house. There is, you may trust probably maybe everybody in this building, but there is not a need for them to have unlimited access into your house, right? So therefore, you don't give them a key unless they need a key for a specific purpose. And when that purpose, when they need a key for that purpose, you give them that key, right? Well, in the same way, there are, all of us need something from the Lord, right? And when we have the keys of the kingdom, can you name some of the keys of the kingdom? Prayer. What else? Let's go a little further here. Let's go to Colossians 4, verse 1. Let's start at verse 1. And I thought about it like this. How many times have we, in the natural sense, have you heard somebody say things like, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Why do they say that?
Why do we say that? What's the point in saying that? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Help me out here.
They're your peace.
They're your
peace.
All right? And getting a job, this person has the ability to open doors for you. To make it very plain and clear what that this person, I want to hire this person. And if that person has some clout or some influence with the higher-ups in the company, chances are it is not how much you know, it's who you know, right? So you have access into this job situation because you know somebody that has some inside influence in that job, right? So in the same way, that person's influence actually carries you along and opens doors for you. In the same way, spiritually speaking, it's who we know. It's not what we know. There are a lot of people that know a lot about the Word of God, but they don't know the Lord. They know a lot about a lot of Scriptures, but they don't have a personal acquaintance with the Lord. And there are doors that are shut. You know, I was raised, all of my family was raised around an altar. Our parents taught us how to pray. They taught us how to love the Word of God. They took us to church. They took us in worship, but not. And all of my brothers and sisters, they know Scripture, and they'll quote Scripture today to you. But not all of them know the Lord. Not all of them have a personal acquaintance with the Lord. It is not what you know intellectually. It is not what you know intellectually. It is the fact that you know God intimately in the very depths of your heart. And if I know Him, and if I love Him, and if I worship Him, and I do the things that He desires me to do, He'll open the doors for me that I need open. And the doors that I don't need open, then I'm trusting Him that I didn't need to go to that. Because He knows more than I know, and He knows better than I do. So saints, don't be discouraged by what you're facing. Don't be discouraged by the doors that are shut before you. You seek the Lord. What does the Scripture say from one place? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. There are some times that we need to go through the process of what God wants us to do. We haven't done our part. We're asking God to do something and we haven't done our part. And Lord, the Lord may want us. Maybe there is some unforgiveness in our heart. Maybe there is a lack of humility, pride, that is hindering us from actually getting that key in and turning the lock and actually unlocking the door. Have you ever had a key made at Home Depot or someplace and you went to put it in the lock and you couldn't turn it? Because there was something about it that wasn't quite right. Alright? So we may have love. We may have love that we, but it may not be perfected. It may not be the love that we really need, the level of love that we need for the Lord to unlock that door and open it and swing the doors wide open. The Lord can shut a door on you as well as open it on you. And then when we go in and we say, Lord, I love you, I love this person, I love whatever it is. And the Lord says, I want you to have unfeigned love. Do you know what unfeigned love is? No pretense about it. And I mean, as we examine our lives on a day-to-day basis, we need to understand, Lord, I want to have the love. He says in one place, he says, I believe John, maybe the 15th chapter, he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now, the Lord loved us a certain way, doesn't He? Now, can we look at it and we say to our brother or to maybe a situation that we find ourselves in, do I love did my fellow man, my brother, the folks in the church, do I love them as Christ loved me? He gave us an example, didn't He? And sometimes I believe the reason things are shut on us, the doors are not, we don't have access, is because there is something wrong with the key. It needs to be filed down on just one little area. So the Lord wants to work with us in those areas of our lives that need to be perfected so that when we put that key in, it turns the lock and it opens the door. So we can't look at the other man. We can't say that every time this person is wrong, it may be something about me and the key that I'm endeavoring to use is not perfect, so I need the Lord to help me. Lord, help me. I'm the one that needs help. And I'm learning that more and more. I'm learning that it is human nature that what we want to do is we want to blame the other person for our fault.
that your husband or your wife or your brother, your mother, your father, whatever it may be, I am not saying that they are not a problem. I don't know. But I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, they are not the problem. What God wants to do in you and me is He wants to purge us, He wants to perfect us, He wants to make us more like Him. And how does He do that? He does that by taking us through the suffering, through the trial, through the problems that we have, dealing with people and people getting on our nerves and people causing us problems, and we have to find some place to bow down and pray and get the grace that we need in our soul.
Amen.
And we have to forgive. This is part of the key. It's one of the keys to the kingdom. Yes, read it, please.
As the Father has loved me,
I love you.
Continue you in my love.
To keep my commandments.
You shall abide in my love.
Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. And I abide in His love. Alright. So one of the things that we do in, and we're taught this by precept and by example. We're taught that when we get into a job situation, how many times do we cultivate relationships with those that are above us? With those that have some kind of power and influence to help us to grow to another level. So we cultivate those relationships, don't we? We make certain that we don't, well, maybe bring them some cookies, or maybe we do something that's nice to them. And is there anything wrong with that? It's not really anything wrong with it, is it? It's the thing to do. Because you don't want your boss to be upset at you. Because chances are, if your boss gets upset at you, you're not going to have a job for very long, are you? But when you do what you know you need to do in order to have a good relationship, you know what they're requiring you to do on the job, and you have a good relationship, you make certain that you meet all of those requirements, don't you? And when you meet all those requirements, when it comes time to for a review, then you get a good review, don't you? And you're able to get the pay raise that the sister was talking about today. You're able to get more money to be able to support yourself and your family in a greater way. How well do we cultivate the relationship that we have with the Lord? Are we doing everything that we know that He would have us to do in our personal walk, in our personal relationship with Him? Are we doing everything that we know we ought to do? Are we spending the time that we need to with the Lord? Are we praying? Is the meditation of our heart acceptable in His sight? When He gives us a weekly review, can He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? We need to look at those things, because ultimately we know what our boss at work is expecting of us. And there are some of us that give just the minimum performance. I'm not going to go out there and do all that stuff. Y'all ain't paying me for that. I'm not going to do all that. That's just extra work. Why should I do extra work that you're not paying me for? Now, a person with that kind of an attitude that just meets the minimum requirement, what do you think the boss, do you suppose the boss knows that? But then there's this person when everything is said and done, and I've gotten this done, and I'm picking up a broom, and I'm finding something else to do, and I want to know what makes you happy, boss. I want to know what you are expecting of me, and when I do that, there is a greater chance of me having doors open to me, isn't there? Well, in the same way, there are those of us, I think it's those, because I don't want to be among that group, but there are those that hit the bare minimum when it comes to spiritual things. I'm saying that that's good enough. And you know, I don't really have to go any further because the Lord understands my heart. But what about those of us that want to cultivate a relationship with the Lord? Because there's going to come a time in my life, it really is right now, there comes a time that I'm going to need Him even more than I need Him right now. And I want there, as the sister said earlier, I don't want there to be anything between He and I. I don't want Him to look at my life and say, "You could have done better, but you didn't." What did he say to the five foolish virgins? Those were people that were doing the bare minimum. They had their oil, they had the light, and they were doing what was required for them to be pure and innocent and holy, but they weren't doing enough. And so when it came down, right down to the very end, they realized that the door was not open unto them simply because they didn't take a little bit of oil that would have been a little bit more of a burden. They didn't take the oil, so the door was shut. And in the same way, the only thing that they needed in order for the bridegroom to open the door unto them was a little bit of oil. And you know, the only thing that you and I need is a little bit of the oil, the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. And if we live like that and we say, Lord, I know this may be okay. And this is some folks saying, you know what, that ain't sin, so I can get by with it. Well, the Lord don't want us just getting by. Those five foolish virgins just got by. But they really didn't just get by, did they? When they needed access to the kingdom, they didn't have the key. They could not, because he would say, I don't know you and I never knew you. Lord help us. So how are you living? Are you living your life to the point that God is pleased with what you're doing? And that you're cultivating the relationship that you have with the Lord? Or are you just doing the bare minimum? I've got oil, my light is flickering every now and then, but I got a little bit of oil, and I'm not going to go back and get any more, because this is going to be cumbersome. But you know, there's a door. The path that you're on is a door at the end of that path. And you want to have access into the doors of heaven. May the Lord help us. All right. Let's go to Colossians 4, verse 1. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven.
Continue in prayer.
And watch in the same with thanksgiving.
With all praying also for us.
That God would open unto us.
A door of utterance.
To speak the mystery of Christ.
For which I also am in bonds.
That I may make it manifest. As I ought to speak. Now I want to say this, a door of utterance. So what we have here is a door that the Lord can set before us, an open door.
And I know that all of us have been in situations and settings where we needed to speak to somebody, or we didn't know whether or not we should speak to them about the matters of their soul. Everybody in this world needs God.
Amen.
There's not a person that has ever been born that doesn't need God. But you know, the doors, there are some people that you try to talk to and they're just closed up. They don't want to have, I'm tired of y'all talking about this God. I don't believe in God. I don't understand personally how somebody could not believe in God. I believe ultimately they're lying. But I believe that also the enemy can so dull their mind and their senses that they can't look around them and see that there has to be a God. But back to what we're dealing with is here, that these people, some people you can't talk to about the matters of your soul. And so what do we do? What did Paul say that we do? He said, with all praying always for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So, in other words, the Lord has to open the way for us to be able to speak to people about sometimes anything. Maybe it's things that you see in a person that needs to change. Maybe it's not about the matter of their soul. Maybe it's just about their marriage. Maybe it's about the way they do things. Maybe it's your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. It may be a friend. When you see something that the Lord lays on your heart that needs to be changed about another person, it is not for us to go there and just bogart our way in there and just start talking to them about it. It is for us to begin to pray about it and to seek the Lord about it and ask the Lord, when is your timing? When is the door of utterance open that I can speak the things that I need to speak to this individual about you that will draw them closer to you? And what our responsibility is to do is to make certain, Lord, by your grace, I want the door to be open. So we proceeded with prayer. We asked the Lord, Lord, open up my understanding. Open up my timing. Give me the word to say. And as you're doing that, it doesn't mean that you're inactive. It means that you're doing what God wants you to do. And God can open a door that no man can shut.
Even a person that doesn't want to hear it, there are things, there are times that the Lord puts them flat on their back or puts certain things in their way that the door is open for us to speak to them about the things of God. It's our duty to be prepared. Lord, help me to be prepared to speak to this person about this particular matter. By your grace, give me the word. Give me utterance. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Help me to know what to say, what not to say.
And do you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will do that. Do you know, husbands, it is not always, and wives, it is not always that you need to be talking to your wife about a particular matter. It needs to be preceded by prayer. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? Sometimes you need to pray about it. Because there's something that the Lord wants you to do. You've got the key that can unlock this problem, but you may not have the love of God and the love for that person that you need in order to. There may be something wrong with your key. The reason you can't, the door of utterance isn't open. And you know what I find? Is I find that the Lord works with us first. I've never been in a situation, the Lord, that I got up in a pity party, just me. And I was, all these folks were treating me wrong. And the Lord says, yeah, I know they are treating you wrong, aren't they? Lord, they never got on my side on that. Ever. Even when I felt like I had legitimate reason, and I may have gone to my brother, and maybe they said, yeah, I know why you're upset, but God ain't never said that to me. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, I allowed this to happen to you. So what I want you to do is I want you to get to a place in me that you can have access to the grace of God, that you can come boldly to that throne, and you have access to be able to get the grace to deal with what they're saying and what they're doing and what they're not saying and what and how they're mistreating you. I want you to have the grace of God on the day they mistreated me. And I didn't find anybody that would complain with me and rub my wounds and lick them and say, you know, this is poor you. Things are going so bad for you in your life right now. The Lord ever done that to you? The devil has, hasn't it? You ever done any good sitting down and thinking about how bad people treat you? Sounds like you need to go and do some knocking. Because you need a little bit more grace, don't you? Lord didn't say that he was going to make everybody treat you right. He said when you got saved, he was going to make you treat everybody else right. You got that? He said, love your enemies, not just your friends, not just your brothers, not just the Lord, but love your enemies. Those that despitefully use you and persecute you, what are we to do? We're to bless them. Are we to curse them back? No, we're to bless them. And let me tell you, that takes more than what you and I have on hand. Just in ourselves. It takes the power and the grace of God. How do I get that power and that grace? I have to find a place of humility.
The Lord sends us to places that we have to humble our hearts when people are talking about us and doing things and persecuting us.
We have to find a place of humility. And what does that do? There is a key that's there that unlocks the door to the grace of God. That I have more of the grace of God flowing in my soul and nobody can turn it off. Nobody can close it. The Lord said, I'll open it unto you, and no man can close it. As much as I want the grace of God, and as much as I need it, I can have all that I need, whenever I need it. All I have to do is humble my heart and submit myself to the Lord and say, Lord, by your grace,
I'm going to go through this like you want me to go through it. I will hear you say, by the grace of God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, some of the things that the Lord sends us through are just tests.
He's testing our faith. He's testing our resolve. He's testing our commitment. Lord, help us. All right, so a door of utterance. There's God's timing in everything. God has a timing. And there are times that we may step out of the order of the Lord. And then there are times that the Lord may want us to just plant a seed. They're not going to accept it. But you plant a seed, and the door is just open long enough for you to throw a seed in there and for it to begin. And the Lord will water it, and He'll plant it like it needs to, and it'll grow. But I want to say to us that we pray, Lord, help me that when there is an opportunity for me to speak to someone about the things of God, that we can pray for that door of utterance before we ever know where the door is. We can say, Lord, give me an opportunity to tell somebody about you. And then some stranger on the street that's in trouble, maybe at their car stopped and the hood is up, and you come and help them and you tell them about the Lord. It's your door of utterance. All right? And also, among those that we love, there's timing that the Lord has for that. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. We're moving closer to our conclusion. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9.
For a great door
and effectual
is open unto me.
And there are many adversaries. You know, the Lord has doors that are very effectual. And He says, I can go in and I can preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but there are a lot of adversaries. So there will be opposition when the Lord... It's not just that, oh, the door is open and there's not going to be... When the door is open, there's no opposition. There's no adversaries. There's nobody coming against me. The Lord just opens the door and I just skip right through it. No, that's not it. There may be some guards standing at the door, so to speak. Some that the Lord has opened the door, but let me tell you, the Lord can open the door and no man can close it. There may be that you have to pray your way through the door. Over on the other side, the access, you may have to pray your way through it, but you do that, saints. May the Lord help us. To realize that there are going to be those that are going to come against us. There are going to be those that are going to say things like, you know, I'm getting tired of you, or whatever it is. And those that don't appreciate you anymore. If you're a preacher, preachers go to that all the time. Some folks love them, and some folks hate them. But especially when you start telling them the truth. The Lord gives you utterance. And sometimes the utterance that the Lord gives you is not something pleasant that you even want to say to them. But you know what the Lord tells us? He says that I am personally going to have to give an account of everything that I say behind this sacred desk. Yeah. And when the Lord opens up and gives me an opportunity to talk to somebody about a particular matter, maybe I see them strained, maybe I see that they're not as earnest as they need to be, or maybe they're involved in some false doctrine or whatnot, and I begin to speak to them about those things, you know, there's adversarial kind of position that they take. And so what do? Do I shrink back and I say I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to hurt your feelings? No, you and I have to say it, and because ultimately we have to give an account. If I don't say it, then the Lord is going to hold me or you responsible for not saying it. So I don't want to do that. I'd rather hurt your feelings with love than to try to protect you and hurt your soul because I was scared of hurting your feelings. You lose your soul because I'm scared of hurting your feelings. Don't you suppose that the Lord's going to hold me responsible for that? All right. Effectual doors open unto me, but there are many, many adversaries. All right. Acts 14, 27. Acts 14, verse 27.
And when they were come.
Had gathered the church together.
They
had rehearsed all that God had done with them.
How He had opened the door of faith
unto the Gentiles. Now, He's talking here. They're talking about how God opened the door. It wasn't that somebody, Peter, Paul, and all those. They didn't open the door. The Lord did. And the Lord did it in His timing. Now, we might say too, if you go to a store, and or you, let's say you come to church. You come to church tomorrow at about 11 o'clock. You know what's going to be there? What's going to happen? The door is going to be locked. You say 10 o'clock. Well, that's not the time that we have our service. So, what I want to bring out here is that there is a timing that the Lord has in everything. And so if you came here at 10 o'clock on Sunday or 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, the door is going to be open. And so in the same way, there are times that the Lord wants you and I to understand that there, that when you come to Him, there are times that the door is going to be open. He said the door of faith. And one of the keys that we said here was faith. That we trust in the Lord. We believe that God is able to do anything. You know, there is a door of faith. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me that I have a greater level of faith to believe the things that You're able to do. God is able to do anything. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So there is a door of faith that we need to go and we need to knock on that door and we need to say, Lord, increase my faith. Amen. There are times that all of us are in places. I've been praying about the Lord increasing my faith along the line and I don't even need it right now. I don't even need that particular area in my life, but I know I will. And so as the Lord brings it to my mind to pray, I say, Lord, increase my faith along this line. Maybe I don't need it yet, but I know that I may need it in the future, and I want to have the faith when I need it. I want to have the faith to be able to embrace You in the midst of this. So a door of faith. And we can knock on that door. And you know what will happen? It shall be open. You suppose when the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith, that He said, I don't think so. Do you think He said that? No, but you know what I've heard many people say, and this, and I believe it's a true statement, but it's not for us to withdraw from. I believe that when we ask for a greater level of faith, they say, well, you asked Him for a problem. You asked Him for trial. So, go through the trials, right? The Lord will increase your faith. All right? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. And someone get me Romans 5, verse 1. Start at verse 1. All right. Read.
Furthermore.
When I came to preach Christ's gospel. The door was opened unto me
of the Lord.
I had found had no rest in my spirit.
I found
not Titus, my brother.
But
taking my leave
of them, I went from thence
unto Macedonia. So he's saying here, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, here, what I want to bring out, as we brought out in the beginning of this discourse, the Lord opens the doors. It's not that we go with the ram and break the door down. The Lord opens the door for us to preach the gospel. The Lord opens the door for us to talk to folks about Him. But you know why He does that? Because how many times did somebody talk to you about salvation before you were really yielded to the Lord? Most people, the Lord talked to them a few times, right? But the Lord opens the door. Maybe somebody just dropped a seed, somebody else watered the seed, somebody else continued to water and cultivate it before it ever brought forth fruit. All right, let's go a little further. Romans 5, verse 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith,
we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus
Christ,
by whom also we have
access
by faith
into this grace
wherein we stand,
and rejoice in hope
of the glory of God.
Not only so,
but we glory in tribulation also,
knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Patience,
experience. And experience,
hope.
Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, I want us to read what we just said here. He says here, being justified, how are we justified? By faith. So this door of faith is very important, isn't it? This door of faith, because we're justified by faith. Alright? And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, one of the things that we've said many times from this pulpit is that we have peace not because everybody likes us, and because in our nation, the Iran likes us, and the folks in Afghanistan and Pakistan, all of them just love Americans. There's a lot of anti-American sentiment in the world, isn't there? But the reason we have peace in our country is because there is power behind our president. There is enough power, nuclear weapons, and all these kinds of things to annihilate, to actually destroy a lot of places, right? Well, in the same way, spiritually speaking, the reason we have peace in the Lord is because there is so much power. There is power to overcome anything that the enemy can bring our way. They can bring all the forces of evil our way, and there is the power of God that is able to stay the devil's hand and to give us peace. We have access by faith, don't we? There is a door of faith that we can open and say, Lord, I need more of the grace of God in my life. And what does it say? We glory in tribulation. The only way that I can glory in tribulation is the fact that I know that God's grace is in my heart. I have the grace of God that is actually lifting me up and carrying me along. Then I can glory in tribulation. But let me tell you, if I don't have the grace of God, I'm going to start complaining, and I'm going to start murmuring, and I'm going to be disappointed in what's going on in my life. But when the tribulations come, I can realize the grace of God is going to lift me up and carry me through this, isn't it? All right? And tribulation, and I have this understanding and this peace in my mind, as it says, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. And as I stay my mind, not on the tribulation, not on the problem, not on the situations that I'm dealing with, but Lord, I keep my mind on You. I have peace, and I know that tribulation works patience. Just wait. The end is coming. The Lord is not going to leave you in this trial forever. Whatever trial you're going through, whatever hard place you're in right now, that's not where you're going to stay. The Lord is going to take you through. He's going to be faithful to you. All you have to do is knock. Lord, give me the faith to believe that. Give me the grace to bear it. And give me the will to be patient in the midst until You come to my rescue. And You carry me out of this situation, Lord. I need You to give me Your grace. And I have access by faith in the grace where I can stand under these things. I can bear up under them. Alright? I'm almost done, y'all. And patience, experience. You know what keeps us from making the same mistake over and over and over and over again? Experience. We realize that that doesn't work. You ever seen a fly try to get out of a window? And he'll sit there and kill himself trying to get out of the window because he doesn't have the ability to have the experience that ain't doing it. You need to fly somewhere else and find an access to get out of here. And do you know what? Some of us are no smarter than that. Some folks, I've seen some folks that are not much more smart than that. They try the same thing over and over and over and over, and they end up getting very discouraged when all you have to say, well, look, that you can't get you can't get out of that. You can't get out of your problems that way. You find them drinking, you find them smoking dope, you find them taking cocaine, and then it gets you out of your problems. You know, all it does, it makes the problem worse. Well, I heard one interview that somebody said. He said at first it was it fun and then it was fun and difficult. Then it was just difficult. The devil takes all the fun away, doesn't he? When he has you hooked, he takes all the fun away. And so, are you still like the fly trying to get out and trying to be happy? We heard that last Sunday, didn't we? Mm-hmm.
trying to be happy. I need to get out on the other side of this window, and the only way, the only exit is God. You want to be happy, the only way for you to do that, really, is to live for the Lord. And you're still trying to do it on your own, smoking a little this, doing a little that, involved in all that. That doesn't work, does it? You know why it doesn't work? Because there are folks sitting here. You know what? If we had heard everybody's story, you'd be shocked at these good little saints, what they tried before they tried salvation. Wouldn't you be surprised? And we ain't going to tell it either, are we? It ain't nobody's business but ours and God. It's something you want to forget about, isn't it? But then you realize, okay, I can't get out this way. I can't find it this way. I've got to find an access hole somewhere else. And so you went and you, the Lord planted somebody, put somebody in your life, gave them the door of utterance and opened it up to you. And you realize, you know what? What you're saying about this salvation is really true. I'm going to try it. Even if it's not true, I can always go back to the window and keep bumping my head on the same thing if that's what I want to do. But I'm going to try getting out this way. I tried getting out that way, and you know what? It worked. I tried getting out the way of God, is what I'm saying.
Right.
I can't go the way of the way of the world and find happiness. That's not going to work, is it? But I know the way of God, and I can find it, and I found it, Lord in me. I found it. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, I'm almost done. All right, so it says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. So we have the experience now that we say, and you know, some folks have the experience that you're really not happy where you are, but and what I've learned is that people give some to the Lord, but they don't give all to the Lord. So consequently, when you don't give everything to the Lord, you're still not happy. Because you have... You know what people say about people that are really sick? Their quality of life, well, it'd be better for them to go on because their quality of life. You know why? Because a person is half living and half dead. Really. And when they're really sick like that, it's like they've got one... Have you ever heard the saying, they've got one foot on the grave? That's how some people are, spiritually speaking. When they give their heart to the Lord, they still got one foot. They still kind of want to lean as close to sin as possible. But there's some comfort in them, but they know better. Just go in and out. Find a place in the Lord that's much deeper than where you are, and you'll be happy. Lord help us. All right. Experience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. All right, one last scripture, John 10, verse 1. Start at verse 1. That's passage of scriptures, I should say. 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, by the sheepfold, he climbeth up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. He putteth them forth, his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. You know, this is really true. This is really true as far as sheep are concerned, as far as animals are concerned. They know the voice of the one that feeds them. And they won't follow somebody that they are not familiar with. And in the same way, I want to encourage us this way. There are a lot of voices out there that are competing with the voice of God. A lot of voices. Saints, know the voice of God. Know it plainly. Know it clearly. And follow it. Alright? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd.
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Now, he says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now I want to say that. The Lord is our everything. He's everything that we need. He's our access to God. He's our access to faith. He's our everything. If you need a solution to a problem today, He is that solution. If you need more grace, He's the door to that grace. He is the grace. If you need more faith, He's the door. I want to encourage you to knock. I want to encourage you to cultivate the relationship. Whatever relationship you have with the Lord, cultivate it. Make it right. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not how much of this Word that you know, it's whether or not you know the Word. He is the Word. And whether or not you have a personal acquaintance with Him, may the Lord help us. My desire today is for each one of us, if we don't know the Lord today, there is not a better time than right now to get to know Him. Know Him for who He is. If you're looking for happiness and you're like the fly that's flying in the window and you've tried everything over and over and over again and it's still not working, I want to say that there is an access to something that peace in your heart. If you tried drugs, you tried drinking, you tried all those things and you can't get the peace that you need, I want to say turn around and there is peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can do it. He's the access. He's the way. He's our way. The Scripture says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the access to what you need today. Pray for me.